ELC Radio.
What's going on, ELC? We got the greatest in hip-hop hits for you right now. Let's start things off with Snoop Dogg. No. Not that. We got another dope jam coming for you right now. Here's T.I. Oh, no. Not this. Let's get into this jam right now from Nicki Minaj. Wait a minute. Let's run it back. That's not right. Come on. Hip Hop Gives Praise on this week's That Next Level on the ELC Radio Network.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's our very special guest from Elevate Life Church Youth Ministries, Chris Serra.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
This is more than just a shameless plug, but a few months ago, I started a podcast, and the Fellowship Podcast. You can get it wherever you want to listen to podcasts. So as I was starting to do this podcast thing, like I honestly, I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I did some research and was trying to figure out, okay, how do you even start a podcast? You just start talking into a microphone, and then I found out you actually have to record it. You can't just talk into it. You got to do a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that I had to learn was that kept popping up as I was studying, as I was trying to figure things out, was it kept talking about creating loyal followers. And that kind of weirded me out because I don't really care if people follow my life. Like, I got a big enough head. I was born with a huge dome. So, like, I don't need, like, a bunch of people just, like, fanboying me. I'm cool off that, right? But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the scripture in Matthew 28:19. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of age." Right? So what is a disciple? Disciple is someone who follows Christ. So I was thinking about this, and I was like, okay, like I said, I got a big enough head. I don't need people to follow me. But what if I can use my influence to help others follow Christ? What if I can use the talents, the abilities, the position that God's put me in to help others follow Christ? That would be awesome. I'm good with that. Like I said, I don't need people following me. I mean, if you follow me, I pity the fool who follows me. But if you follow me as I follow Christ, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. As Christians, our role is to help lead others to follow Christ. So I want to give you a couple tips this morning on creating loyal followers of Christ. All right? So we're going to be creating loyal followers. So the first thing to know is, like The Rock once said, know your role, all right? Know your position. Know where you're at. Where has God placed you in people's lives? See, he has called us to be disciples. Depending on what translation of the Bible you use, it's anywhere from 250 to 300 times that God uses the word disciples, and about 3 times that he refers to us as Christians. So if we are called to be disciples, what a disciple is called to do. Create disciples, to disciple others, to help others live fully devoted lives and following Christ. So our position as a disciple of Christ, our role is to create disciples. If you are a follower of Christ, your role is to create disciples. I don't know how to say it any other way. I'm trying to think of it. Si tu eres, all right. But it's very clear that your position is to go out and make disciples. God has positioned all of us in some way, shape, or form to have a position of influence. To have a position of influence over someone. Whether it's your coworkers, whether it's your kids, whether it's your family, whether it's just the random person who happened to like the picture you posted of your cute dogs and started following you, you have a position of influence. If you don't have puppies and you don't get it, but I got two cute ones and people randomly follow me because I put a picture of a dog up. So our position is to help others become fully devoted follower of Christ. The reason it's important to know your position is because when you understand your position, you will understand how to be successful in it. Some of y'all need to hear that again. If you understand your position, you'll understand how to be successful in it. See, anybody in here a fan of The Rock? I'm a big fan of The Rock, right? You know what I'm saying? Some people say, ain't nobody ever said that. But I'm a big fan of The Rock. I follow The Rock, right? My position is just I follow him on social media, right? So I actually got recently inspired because if anybody else like me likes to follow Mr. Johnson, then that's his real name for those of you who don't know. So Dwayne recently inspired me to be a 5 a.m.er. So me and my boy Willard, shout out to Willard, have been hitting the gym at 5 in the morning. All right? The struggle is real, but we there. There are some days I'm there in just body, not in spirit or mind, but I'm there. All right? I got inspired by The Rock, right? So I follow The Rock. Now, The Rock often puts pictures of him getting his workout on, right? So I am just a follower of The Rock. He don't follow me, all right? Not yet, at least. Maybe one day. But right now, if I were to DM The Rock and be like, hey, bro, I was watching your videos, and I seen what you doing when you was doing the squat with that 800 pounds. Like, you're off. Your knees were a little bent too far out. Like, I would get no reply, okay? In fact, he might even, like, screenshot it and post it up, and then I'd get roasted on social media for even thinking I could tell The Rock how to do a squat, right? My position in The Rock's life is not to be his trainer, okay? Some of the reasons we struggle leading people to Christ is because we don't know our position in it. Because there are times in our life where we are planting seeds, there are times where we're watering them, and there's times where we're really bringing them to harvest. But if we try to operate outside of our role, we won't be effective with it. So, also, yeah, another way The Rock inspired me, this is just a side note, don't go on IG right now, but Epic Cheat Meals, do yourself a favor later, check out Epic Cheat Meals. Ooh, I think I get more inspired by that than the workouts. So as your children's director, for me to be effective, I need to know my position. See, I try not to claim the term children's pastor, because my position in your child's life is not to be their pastor. My position is to help set up curriculum, help raise leaders, help create a good foundation. The position of pastor in their life is yours. I am not the spiritual authority in your household. We said it before. You are. When you begin to understand that, if you're a parent, then you'll know how to thrive in that. You'll know how to succeed in that. If you take ownership over my role in my child's life is to lead them to be fully devoted followers of Christ. That is my role. in Psalms, don't worry. One thing I love about our pastor and something that I do too is I don't like to just like say things out of my own mouth, but I think it's important that we go to the Word of God. So I got some scriptures for you. We're going to read Psalm 78, and this is in the Message version. It says this. It says, "Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you know the sweet truths, the stories we heard from our fathers, counsel we learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it on to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. He planted a witness in Jacob and set his word firmly in Israel, then commanded our parents to teach it to their children. So that the next generation would know, and all the generations to come, know the truth, know the stories, so their children can trust God. Never forget the works, but keep his commands to the letter. Heaven forbid that they should end up like their parents." Oof. Come on now. Heaven forbid that they should end up like some of us. "A fickle and faithless bunch who never stayed true to God." Don't worry, I got some more for you. Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9 says, "Write these commandments that I have given to you today on your hearts. Get them inside of you and get them inside your children. Get them inside of you and get them inside your children. Talk about it wherever you are, sitting at home, walking in the street, talking about it from the time of the morning to the time you fall in bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorsteps of your home and on your city gates." We're going to skip down to verse 20. It says, "The next time your children ask, what do these requirements and regulations and rules that God, our God, has commanded mean? Tell your children we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and God powerfully intervened and got us out of that country. We stood there and watched God deliver miracles, signs, wonders, and great evil visitations on Egypt and Pharaoh and his household. He pulled us out of there so he could bring us here to the land he solemnly promised our ancestors. That's why God commanded us to follow all these rules, so we could live reverently before God, our God, as he gives us a good life, keeping us alive for a long time to come." It's so important that we pass down our faith. That we pass down our faith, and not just our showing up to church, not just our religious practices, not just being good people, all right? I tell our team every week, look, we can't just be here to be good people. We have to have the Spirit inside of us, because if we're just here to teach kids to be good people, they can drop them off at the gym daycare. The only thing that separates going to Sunday school from the local daycare is that we get to instill Christ in them. We get to do that. See, on my day job, when I'm a Bruce Wayne, I work in drug and alcohol prevention, and one of the biggest studies shows that the greatest influence on our kids' lives, it's not their friends, even though we might think so, it's not social media, it's not MTV or any of that other stuff like that you think of automatically, it's their parents. Yeah. Studies prove that it's their parents that have the biggest influence on their lives. You guys have the biggest influence on your kids' life. Parents, don't let your influence be stolen by anyone else. You can't forfeit your role or your position to anyone or anything. A recent study in Barna showed that 59% of lifelong Christians have their faith passed down to them from their family. Over half of the people who claim to be lifelong Christians in our country got it from their mama. All right? 68% of those people got it from their mama. 46% got it from their dad. Dads, let's step it up a little bit. I'll leave it there. But they get it from their families. More than half of lifelong followers of Christ get it from their families. You guys have a responsibility as parents to pass down your faith, to show, to give your kids those signs and wonders and miracles to remind them, look, son, I was jacked up when I was your age. I was a fool. I was doing dumb stuff. I was doing X, Y, Z. But God. But God. God stepped into my life. God changed my life. God changed me. The reason that you are so blessed today, son, is because God did an amazing work in me. See, some of us are afraid to share our testimonies with their kids. And obviously, you know, you want to give them the PG version, all right? Don't. I know some of y'all's testimonies was a little, you know, NR-17 or even, you know, whatever. But let's give them the PG version, okay? For real, some of y'all. You know, my dad used to. Whoa, I don't need to know that, brother. All right? But seriously, it is so important that we tell our kids where we came from. Not as a bragging right or look at me, I'm cool as your friend's dad, but to say, man, look what God has done in my life, son. Look what God has done in my life, daughter. Now, let me bring it back over to our non-kid-having peeps. Woot, woot. Who I am one. The people watching over us, the people watching us, again, whether it's up close or from afar, they'll either see us living out God's best or our flesh. People watching us are going to see us doing what God has called us to do, living the life that we claim to live or be about, or they're going to see us doing what they do. It's one or the other. The second point is this, speak life. If you want to help create healthy, loyal followers of Christ, speak life. And everything you do, speak life. What is that saying your mama used to say? If you don't got anything good to say, don't say nothing. All right? Vas a ver. 1 Peter 3:10 says this. It says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. Some of y'all could just come to the altar right now. Proverbs 18:20 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. Man, I want a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Next time your haters throwing some shade, remember this verse. Don't worry about coming back at them, right? The right words bring satisfaction, but those who talk will reap the consequences. Just worry about that next time. Next time they sip it on that haterade, all right? There is so much that comes from speaking life. You can inspire and encourage others by sharing the love of God that is inside of you, that I hope is inside of you. Maybe for some of you it's not there yet. It's okay, we'll get there. I'm going to drop a couple more on you. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Again, I could just start the altar right now. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be encouragement to those who hear them. Come on, how many of us want our words to be encouragement to those watching us, to those following us? How many of us want to speak words of encouragement to our kids, to our friends, to our loved ones, to the random person who's following me because they like a picture of my dog? For real, I don't want to throw any hate at anyway, all right? No matter who it is that's following me, I want to speak words of encouragement. Words of life. Yes. The word says you reap what you sow. I want to sow some good seeds. Yes. Whether I know that person or whether I don't, whether they're as close to me as a brother or I couldn't tell the difference between them and another. I just had to rhyme. The other day I was given a presentation. So one of the things I do in my job is I'll go to different places that have teens and I'll speak to them about staying free from drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. And there's a part in the presentation that I give where I talk about this future forward thing that the Sacramento is doing. I ask them about their future. I ask them what their plans are. So I will ask them, I'll say, hey, what are your plans for your future? Somebody tell me your plans for their future. Anybody? Somebody? Alrighty, well, let me try to help you out. How many of you want to be a nurse when you grow up? How many of you want to be a doctor when you grow up? How many of you want to be a fireman? Be a paramedic? Be a teacher? Ain't nobody got nothing. Anybody in here want to be a ditch digger? Yeah. I seriously got like one person who like got excited about that. And which I said, hey, it's all good. If you want to do hard work, there ain't nothing wrong with good hard work. All right? Don't let anybody knock you down. If you work in labor, don't let anybody knock you down because you're working hard. All right? If you're providing for your family, praise God. I don't care what you're doing. Well, you know what I mean. But one girl spoke up and she said, nobody thinks we're going to do anything anyway. Your words have power. Remember, God created the heavens and the earth by speaking it. Would have been like if somebody would have just told that person, like, hey, you're incredible. You're awesome. You could do it. So again, when we're speaking, speak life. Speak life, guys. You know, one of the reasons many of us struggle when we come to God is because we didn't have good parents, good leaders in our lives. So it's hard to recognize God as a good father. We struggle because, you know, you got told you're a crybaby. No se chillon. Or Stanford and Son, use a big dummy. You were fat, you're ugly. Any of these words that knock you down, right? We got told all these things, and sometimes, unfortunately, it came from the people who were supposed to be speaking life into us. And then later when we come to God, and God says, I want to speak life into you, we're like, well, the people who were supposed to do that sucked at it, so why am I going to trust when you say it? It's hard. You know, every week, it doesn't matter to me how many times I've seen the kids come up and do worship. I get choked up every week because you know the words that they're speaking? Did you guys listen to what they were singing today? You are loved. You are forgiven. You are free. He loves you because you are a child of God. He loves you for you. He made you because he loved you. These are the words that they're singing. They're singing words of life, words of hope, words of promise. Look, I'm not going to sit here and judge anybody for listening to the radio or whatnot, but I'd rather have my kids singing songs that says his promises for my life are everlasting than doing the cowboy two-step. Like, that's so much more powerful for me to get those words in my life as an adult. Like, I have friends that say, have you heard the latest Drake song? Nah, bro. And it's not that I'm too cool or whatnot, or I'm too saved, too perfect, whatever. It's just that the words that I want to have flooding my brain, I want to be words of life. That's why it's so important that we listen to, no matter what it is, and there's not cheesy Christian music like it was back in the day, okay? There's some good Christian music out there. Trust me, Elevate Life Radio, all right? We give you a tool right here to listen with your family, all right? Elevate your music, elevate your mind. Like, we have tools for you guys. When I was a kid, from as far as I can remember, in early elementary school, through about maybe middle school. I was sexually abused. And throughout that time, I struggled. I didn't know how to bring it to anybody. I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to vocalize it. Nobody knew what was going on behind the scenes in my life. I had good parents who did great by me, did their best for me, and I thank God for them. I thank God that the word says is that his word will not return void, because they brought me to church every week not knowing what I was going through, but they got the word in me. I can remember being in the third grade, ready to run away from home. I had a good home, and I was ready to run away from it. I remember being fourth, fifth grade, seriously thinking about suicide. And see, while the other kids were singing Backstreet's Back, you know, my dad didn't let me listen to secular music. But the words that, when I would get depressed, I didn't even understand them. But man, when I was struggling, I would sit there and sing, "Anointing, fall on me. Touch my hands, God. Bless my feet. Anointing, fall on me." I didn't know what I was speaking, but God knew. Speak life over your family. Help your kids get the words of life in them. Your friends, your family, help them get the words of life in them. Your influence can lead someone else to find Christ in their time of need. The influence you have over your children, the influence that you have over those around you, the ones that are hurting around you. I had a friend from high school. When we were in high school, we did the same type of things. And then after high school, I gave my life to God. And, I was trying to help him out, trying to hang out with him. And, he wasn't there yet. But he would, one night at like 2 in the morning, he calls me out of the blue. And I'm asleep. At 2 in the morning, if you call me, 99% of the time, I'm probably going to turn around and go back to sleep. Not because I don't love you, but because it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And something in my spirit said, pick up, pick up, pick up. So I picked up, and my friend, who I'd known since middle school, he was talking all kinds of weird stuff, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he goes, "Bro, I'm done. I'm going to end it right now." I don't know why he called me. I don't know why, out of all the numbers in his phone, he called me. But I like to think it's because the influence that I had on his life. Because he knew that there was life, that there was love from God inside me. That the Spirit whispered to him, "There's somebody out there who can help you find what you need, Ricardo. There's somebody out there that can help you find what it is that you're looking for." Man, you know, he still hasn't accepted Christ yet, but he's still here. Because in a time of need, I was able to be an influence in his life that spoke life, that spoke love, that spoke hope, that cared. You know, when he called me, he was at a family party that he had just left. He had walked all the way from, I think he said, from like Power into Meadowview. That's a hike. Nobody in his family stopped him. Nobody in his family called him, checked on him, see where he was at. But he knew that there was something inside me that he needed to call me at that moment. Is there something inside of you that people need to grab a hold of? That people need to follow? Not follow you for you, but follow you for the God in you. Like I said, I could care less if people follow me. I could care less if I get 1 download or 100 downloads. But I want to be available to help somebody in their walk.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.